T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is a good evening to you, and how you be at 8:05 and 30 milliseconds to go right along with a Thursday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here, you there. Peter Hoffman, Brian Rascona, those two gentlemen on the other side of the partition. 1-877-337-6666. That's the number to call for another two-hour Thursday schmooze right up until Chris Moore at 10 on your fan, New York City. He is a man who gets a one-word introduction, champion. And that is, of course, a familiar voice on this radio station 24-7, Bobby Ojeda. Bobby, how the hey are you?
I am doing very good, Mr. Summers, and one of the reasons I'm not wearing a Met uniform.
Well, I can understand. And by the way, wearing the Met uniform, I was going to ask you, first and foremost, a little bit outside the box here, when you watch the Mets, do you wear paper or plastic over the head?
I don't wear either. It is difficult to watch. Well, first, before we get too far, I do want to offer my sincerest hopes and prayers for Sandy to have a nice recovery.
Sure.
You know, right out of the gate. I don't want to. The rest of this is baseball, but that's real, and I just want to make sure I get that in there because that's important. Now, as far as watching this team, I do watch it, and the struggles they are having are astronomical. I mean, from the top on down, you know, the manager,
sure,
the coaches, the lackadaisical effort that we're all seeing. I mean, if you're a Met fan, if you're a baseball fan, you see what's going on, and the dark cloud that's enveloped this club this year is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is, and it goes without saying, and the body language is bad. And
uh-huh.
and let me add, and here's what's somewhat ironic: you have a former pitching coach and Dave Island also, and yet we have seen some very puzzling moves and non-moves from two men who have some very good experience managing pitching, let alone a team. And, of course, I mean, the prevailing thought, and you see this on a nightly basis, is that Callaway is basically over his head.
Steve, I can't agree with you more. He does make puzzling moves that aren't working. I mean, for the first 12 games, it didn't matter what he did. It worked beautifully. But then reality sets in, and then you have to address what you have, who you have, and understand what they look like when they're going good, what they look like when they're going bad, and make a move in accordance to that. He doesn't do that. Double switches, pinch hitting, he seems lost at those things, and he's not getting any help from his pitching coach. And I think part of the dilemma with those two is they're both pitching coaches, and I think there's a little bit, I don't want to step on his toes as the pitching coach, and I don't want to step on his toes as the manager. And you get these befuddlements of, when the game is happening, it can move quick unless you're thinking ahead. And they just don't appear to be looking ahead at different scenarios that could come up in the immediate inning and certainly two or three innings down the road.
Yeah.
They're woefully unprepared for that.
And what do you get from some of the intangibles, including body language? And that includes Callaway, seemingly the deer in the headlights. I know that sounds like the cliche, it is, but he seems to be so passive, standing there, eyes wide open, and spitting out the seeds of defeat, as I have said a couple of times already this evening, And he seems to be a little behind the game that is going on. And he seems to be very late in making some moves that he should have made earlier. What do you get from some of the intangibles? And we'll start with Callaway and also Dave Island, who is standing right there. Take last night, top of the ninth inning. What kind of body language did you see from Callaway and Dave Island standing right there, and also Familia watching him with no command whatsoever and looking as down as could be after 28 pitches from the night before?
I see guys who look defeated. They look like they're just waiting to lose, as opposed to grabbing this thing by the throat. They look waiting to lose. They look like they're completely unsure of themselves. They're going out on the ice, and they are just waiting for it to crack. As a player, I look to my manager to, you know, guide me through this storm, but don't BS me. And his problem, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, what I'm reading, is he's BSing, and guys don't buy that. Major league players don't buy that. There comes a point, and I'm writing something from my website, mm-hmm. that it totally going to address this. It's time to tip over the spread. And you, Steve, you know what I mean by that. The people out there listening, that means when you get so agitated, so angry, there's food in the locker room after the game, you go in there, and yes, it's childish, but you tip the table over, you make a mess, you just vent venom. And it's a cleansing. And it's an awakening, because no one wants to see a manager freak out in the dugout or in the locker room. But sometimes it's got to get your attention. And right now I see guys, you know, picking clovers out of the grass in the outfield.
Yeah.
And just totally detached from reality. And now we're hearing that failure is learning.
Yeah. Can you make that up? I mean, can you believe that?
No, I mean, I don't believe in piling on, and I know right now it is so easy to pile on. But when he says things, and then when he was a little snippy last night in the post, or the night before in the post game, mm-hmm. maybe it was last night.
Mm-hmm. Last night.
It was last night. He doesn't understand how hard the writers work, how invested they are, how knowledgeable they are. And when he sort of flippantly, when he's, you know, lead the Titanic, and he kind of cast dispersion on Christie, I believe that's who it was. It's just, there's no place for that disrespect in a town that you're new and you're trying to win people over, and yet you disrespect the media, and by default the fans are like, "What, this guy thinks we don't know the game?" I think that sends a horrible message to the fans, to his team.
One and done for him, do you think?
I think what the organization as a whole needs to do, and I did say tip over the spread, they need to tip over the spread. I know all this talk about trading this guy, that guy. I trade DeGrom right now. Yep. I let them know that he's available, and I'll tell you why. This team is so far from being competitive. They are so old. They are so unathletic. They are so undriven. They got two kids hitting, two kids that are just happy to be here, Conforto and Nimmo. The rest of the guys, you gotta start all over. Now, if you're going to do that, and it's going to take you 3 years to be competitive, that takes DeGrom to 33 years old. He has had a history of arm problems. So by the time they get a team behind him, worthy of him, he's going to be on his way out. Possibly.
Well, let me ask you this, and I just, before having you on, and we're talking, of course, with a very familiar voice on WFAN, Bobby Ojeda, the champion that he was and the champion he still is. Bottom line is, I used as in the example the Chicago White Sox trading Chris Sale. Well, how has that worked out, getting the prospects that they were to get? How has that worked out, Bobby, for the Chicago White Sox?
Well, there's the rub, Steve. There's the rub. The guys who have been trading and signing people for the past 8 years under Sandy's leadership have done a terrible job. Let's just call it like it is. The minor leagues are devoid of talent. Now, whether it's the teaching or whether it's the people who are signing these guys, something's gone completely haywire. But I don't want DeGrom playing his great years with a team that can't compete, and he can jumpstart this organization on the path to redemption with some good prospects, because let's just take the team across town. The Yankees are overloaded with talent. What would a DeGrom do to that rotation? What would a DeGrom do to that team? Forget about it. You know, I know. It's going to take them to another level, which is hard to fathom.
Well, I don't think the Yankees and the Mets would ever. I don't. First of all, I don't think DeGrom is going. This leads me to this question first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Do you trust Jeff Wilpon? You could talk to me about Rishardi. You could talk to me about Rico. You could talk to me about Omar. The real GM is Jeff Wilpon. And do you trust him to trade DeGrom to get equal value in return? And by the way, a two-parter on this one. Would the Yankees be happy losing Torres and/or Andujar in a DeGrom trade? I think a lot of Yankee fans and the Yankees would never give those guys up, and you would need to get something like that for the best pitcher, ERA-wise, in Major League Baseball right now.
I think you would have to dig deeper in their organization and get more athletes and less of these well-known names, because people would be fuming. I think you get their younger guys who are maybe a year or two away from being, you know, solid. They have so much depth. But in answer to your first question, Jeff is in fact running, and I don't know that, he needs some good advice. He needs somebody to not say yes. Say, Jeff, no, that's not a good idea, or Jeff, that is a great idea. But the ones who have been giving him that advice, if in fact he has been trumping Sandy's moves, it hasn't worked. The people making decisions, quite frankly, it hasn't worked. And I'm not saying this to be nasty. I'm saying this because I look at the team where they're at. I look at, you know, 8-9 years of this organization, and unfortunately, I don't know if it could have gone worse. What's gone on?
You are not. I'll repeat. You are not being nasty. You are being matter of fact. You're looking in on an organization that is in disarray and needs to be straightened out. You just wonder if Jeff Wilpon, if Jeff and or Fred as well, can look into that mirror and say, you know, it isn't working with us and the decisions we're making. Can we hire some baseball people to fix things? Do you think
that's the point, Steve, right there. Can you look in the mirror and be honest? Can you be honest and stop with the, you know, years of Terry Collins that, you know, were close? A comeback for Terry Collins, and I love Terry. I'm not being nasty again, but Terry used to consider a comeback, you came back and lost by less. What? It's still a loss.
Yeah.
And now the manager is losing his learning. We need somebody in there. They need somebody in there who can say the emperor has no clothes. You're naked. We've got to change this thing. The fans deserve to know where this thing is going. The Met fans are the greatest. I love them. I'm one. And I'm not saying that as hyperbole or anything. I'm saying it because I believe that with my heart and soul. But they need something.
Yeah, of course. Before I let you go, let me ask you regarding the Yankees, because it does look like they're going to get or want, they certainly want a pitcher. If they can find one without giving up the real blue chippers, and certainly we're not talking about the Andujars, and we're not talking about Torres. Those two are not going anywhere, but they do have quite, as you know, quite a farm system. Would you, if the choice was between, and I'm, for the sake of conversation, Bobby, if the choice was between Hap and Cole Hamels, and then they're not going to get a Pat Corbin, they're not going to probably get the Bumgarner, they're probably not going to get who maybe a Fulmer, they would have to give up a lot to get him from Detroit, but I'm just saying, if they don't get those kinds of pitchers for down the stretch in the postseason to match the Boston rotation,
right,
and their choice was Hap or Cole Hamels, who would you go for?
I'll take Hap. I think he's a better fit for the Yankees. I'm not a Cole Hamels fan. I think he's really an individualistic type of guy.
Okay.
And I think the Yankees don't want that. They don't need that. The beauty of the New York Yankees is they are all about the name on the front. That's why they don't have names on the back. And I don't think Cole Hamels could handle this town. I think Philly was okay, but I think this town is too big, and he would come in here and perhaps get a little sidetracked. I'd go with Hap because he, I think, is a little more team-driven. And without knowing the guys personally, these are just my observations, I would stay far away from Cole Hamels. I think he's very complacent in his life, in his career, and in his wallet. I think Hap would be a better fit. But I also, I'm with you. Are the Mets and Yankees going to deal? I mean, that's a long shot.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
A long shot.
Yeah,
but,
that's not
going to
happen.
In a perfect world, they get the what I consider one of the best pitchers in baseball in DeGrom, and they give up some lower-level guys who, obviously, they know how to pick talent.
I think
and they know how to coach them. And I get some of those guys back, and I turn this Mets ship around quickly.
I think the Yankees would be very upset if the Mets did trade DeGrom to Boston.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's probably more likely. You make an excellent point. That's more like, bang, take that. You're right, Steve. You're right.
Thanks so much, Bobby, for a couple of minutes. You know it's always appreciated.
Oh, I love talking to you, man.
Yep, you got it. All right, and same here, and same for the listeners, we're hoping, and I'm sure they would also agree with that for sure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.